Hey, good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you. My name is Andy, as Sam was introducing me. I'm married to Sue, and I have the privilege of being the team leader at HBC Chester. And I thought this morning, just as we get going, a little bit of context, I guess, for why we're sat in the same room. So if you're from HBC Chester, just raise your hand and give us a wave. I'll look around. Who's from HBC Chester? Hello, nice to see you. Thanks for coming over from Chester. Who's from Zach's community? Hey, welcome. Great to see you. And then who's from Overflow? Who's from this congregation? Welcome. Good to see you. And if you're a guest as well, if you're not particularly connected to any of those, then we also really welcome you as well. And so it was in 2009, so we're going to go back a few years. 2009 was a significant year for the local authority in this region. And in 2009, what happened was, out of a big review, the local authority, which at that time was Cheshire County Council, and then local boroughs like Chester had its own council, split into two. We have East Cheshire, and we have Cheshire West and Chester. And at that time, I was praying with a group of leaders in Chester, and we really felt God say to us that we needed to track this boundary change that was happening with our local authority. And we needed to watch what was happening in that arena. And so that's what we did. And we started to track what was happening in 2008. And in 2009, as the new local authority was being formed, there was an organisation that I have the privilege of being a part of, being one of the leaders of. It's called Link Up. And Link Up is a relational network of churches, primarily in Chester, but going out relationally out into the different areas of what is now West Cheshire. But we were praying about this, and we formed an alliance to do something called a faith action audit. And that was a survey that we did across the whole of this new borough called Cheshire West and Chester. And we did a faith action, which basically contacted every faith community in that area. So that was 95% Christian, but we also contacted other faiths as well and sort of tried to find out what was happening. And we began to map out that area. And so for me, living in Chester, I've lived in Chester since 1988. I wasn't really that aware of what was going on outside of Chester until about 2009. But from 2009, really for the last 10 years or so, I've been really monitoring and watching what God is doing in our borough. And so I've had the privilege in that context then to meet at a sort of strategic level with people who are now the sort of senior managers of Cheshire West and Chester. So you have the chief executive, and you have senior managers, and the borough has involved in it these major cities and towns, don't you? So you've got Chester, and some of us live in Chester in this room. You have Northwich, you have Winsford, you have all the different villages, Tarpley, Tarvin, Ashton, Kelsall. And then if you go around a bit, you also include Ellesmere Port and a little bit of the edge of the Wirral. And so in that context of talking and praying and then starting to meet churches and church leaders, that's really where the relationship for Sue and I really started to cement and deepen with Gary and Hillary. So Gary and Hillary Atkins, some of you will obviously know if you're in Overflow, they were the founders and senior pastors of this church, Overflow, War Storehouse. And so I'm just giving you a little bit of a context for why the three of us are in this room, the three congregations. And so that relationship developed, and it has its own story, which for those of you in Zach's Kingdom community, Overflow and HBC have something called a Kingdom Alliance, where we have not just relational unity, but we have some structural unity. And we express some of that through the oversight of myself and Sue as sort of team leaders. Paul and Beth are on the staff of HBC, but we work with Overflow. Overflow supply and resource their salary, and they give leadership to the congregation here. And we've been working together for the last, I think, 3.5 years. I lose track of time because of COVID, like everybody does. So it might be longer because of the 2 years of COVID. Now, at the same time, about 4 years ago, I had an email drop into my email box from a Baptist minister called Neil Stanton. And you've heard from Neil this morning. And Neil was emailed me because we had a mutual friend, and Neil was down in the south of England at that time. He was a minister, he was a newly accredited Baptist minister, but he was really feeling that God was calling him back to the northwest. And if you know Neil, and those of you at Zach's Community Church will know his story more than many of us in this room, of how he was originally from this area with Sarah, and so they wanted to come back anyway. We had a bit of dialogue, and then God really led Neil and the family to take on the role working with Zach's Community Church. But out of that relationship, Neil and I got to know one another, and Neil asked if I would do some mentoring work with him and meet with him every 6 weeks. And if you, some of you won't know, but the Zach's Community Kingdom, Kingdom Community, sorry, Kingdom Community.
Zach's Kingdom Community.
Thank you. They are a Methodist initiative. So they are part of Knutsford Methodist Church, which is in Cheshire East, but they planted and did a Fresh Expressions of Church in Northwich. And Neil is a Baptist minister who came into that role about 3.5 years ago, I guess it is. And we've been journeying together a little bit, Neil and I, and we've met up quite regularly. Sue and I have met with him and Sarah informally. I don't think we've actually got together to have a sort of meal together, unfortunately, but we have met up. And so that's a bit of the context in terms of journeying together and saying, well, actually, this is really interesting for me and for us. Saying, well, what is God doing in this region, this Cheshire West and Chester? And so LinkUp has some relationships with churches, and I was at a meeting the other week with some church leaders, and into that mix, for example, was the new Methodist minister, the Free Methodist at Frodsham, I think it is. Because again, those Frodsham and Helsby are part of Cheshire West and Chester. But I think what we're feeling in terms of relationship, and Paul and Neil have met up, and I guess the other context for us in terms of being together is something called Fresh Streams. Fresh Streams is a national network of churches that, again, I have the privilege of being the team leader of. We just had our national conference. We had over 200 leaders together, and there was parts of the leadership team of Zach's Kingdom Community there. There was some, obviously Paul was there, and so there was also the staff team of HBC. So we've got these different contexts where relationally we're getting to know one another at different levels, and obviously there's different spheres of relationships going on, and some of you won't be involved in that at all, except that you're sat in this room this morning. But I just want to give you a little bit of context, because I think it feels like the relationships are developing into something of purpose for this area. And I suppose that's what we're sort of exploring and praying about. And each of us are in different places. We've just gone through this last 2 years. And so there's a bit of a reset moment of, well, what is God saying to us as church? Certainly we're asking that question at HBC, and I know Overflow are, and I'm sure you are at Zach's Kingdom Community. What is God wanting for us in this new season? So into that, I want to just speak for a few minutes out of Mark chapter 8, if you've got a Bible with you. Just three verses in Mark chapter 8. And these three verses are verses 27 to 30. So Jesus and his disciples were headed out for the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And as they walked, he asked, "Who do the people say I am?" "Some say John the Baptizer," they said. "Others say Elijah. Others say one of the other prophets." Then Jesus asked, "And you, who do you say I am? What are you saying about me?" Then Peter gave this answer, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." There was a group of year 10 pupils in a class with their teacher, and they were having a lesson where they were exploring logic. And this is the situation, the teacher said. A man is standing up in a boat in the middle of a river. He's fishing. He loses his balance. He falls in and begins to splash around yelling for help. His wife hears the commotion and knows that he can't swim. And so she runs down to the bank. Why do you think she ran down to the bank? A girl raised her hand and said, "To draw out all of his savings." Questions and perspective and context are really important, aren't they, in terms of how we understand a question. We were thinking the bank of the river bank. But the girl went off on a different direction altogether. And Jesus is in a situation here where he's asking his disciples a really, really important question. Probably the most important question of his 3 years, I would argue. It's sort of towards the middle of Mark's gospel. It's not particularly the middle of his ministry, because Mark has 16 chapters, of which the first 8 chapters are about the 2.5 years of ministry. The last 8 chapters are about the last week of Jesus' life. So there's a real focus in on that. But he asked them this question. And it's a crucial section. It's like seeing the gospel in miniature. And I guess what Jesus is wanting to pull out from his disciples, and I guess he wants to pull this out from you and me, is the question, who am I and will you trust me? Who am I and will you trust me? And so you see, don't you? You read in the question that they want to answer. They maybe don't really know the answer, but they want to give some answers. So they start to say, well, some say this. They say, maybe you're John the Baptizer, or maybe you're Elijah, or maybe you're just one of the other prophets. But Jesus pushes in with them. And I wonder, you know, whether as we sort of come into this new season, this new year, you know, we're still part of this new year of 2022 and looking ahead, that we're in a moment, aren't we, where we all recognize that if anything of these last 2 years that we take from it is that there's been a shaking of stuff. A shaking of institutions. There's shaking going on in terms of us as Christians, in terms of what do we believe? How do we live out our lives as Christians? How do we work out our Christianity in a context where we are perhaps for the first time really challenged to understand what it's like not to meet every week, certainly when we're in the lockdown seasons of 2020 and 2021, How do we sustain our faith when we can't gather in the same ways that we used to? And I guess this question of who do you say I am is a foundational question. And I'm not an expert in buildings, and those who know me well know that I'm not an expert in DIY at all. Nobody gives me a hammer or a nail. And I've got some great stories in my early years of marriage of putting DIY up in the wrong way, which I won't go into. But almost electrocuting myself by cutting a wire with garden shears. Let's just put it there. Anyway, but I do know, because we recently, in the last 4 years, we had a brand new extension put onto the back side, the sort of side of our house. And we had to dig really deep foundations. Deeper than we anticipated because of drainage and trees and one or two other things that were going on in our garden. And we've been living in the house now for 4 years with this extension, and you forget so quickly the foundations because you don't see them. And I guess this question and this sense of being shaken, when things are shaken, it's the foundations that become really important to help us understand how we sustain ourselves through moments of shaking. And so I was drawn this morning, even this morning, I was just reflecting on where we landed in the worship. And I always love it when the worship lands at a place that actually enhances what you're going to preach on, but you haven't had a conversation about what songs you're going to choose. So I did not know any of the songs that were going to be sung this morning. But it was just really fascinating that they landed on the name of Jesus. And we sort of sang, didn't we, and hung around that whole thing of the name of Jesus. And you know, and I know, that names are really significant. The first thing that, you know, if we were able to, you know, it's a bit more difficult in terms of having any time of sort of refreshments and getting to know one another, but one of the first questions that you'll ask is, what's your name? You know, and I introduce myself, hey, my name is Andy, or Paul, you know, so we introduce ourselves by our names. Our names are really, really important. In a biblical world, they even carry more significance. That usually names that were given that carried something of who the person is. We don't tend to. Maybe if you've chosen the names of your children, you gave a lot of thought to the name that you gave your child. Perhaps it had a particular significance to you. Maybe there was a biblical character that you wanted to choose to give that name to your child. But what is it about the name of Jesus? Who do you say I am? Who do we say he is? And so I wanted just to think about that, because it says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, there's no other foundation that anyone can lay that is being laid other than Jesus Christ. The foundation for us as Christians, the foundation for us as church, in its different formats and different expressions, it's still got to be our understanding of who Jesus is. And that we're going to build this body of Christ, this church, on this revelation of who Jesus is. And I think, as I've reflected on this, it's crucial, isn't it, that we get our understanding of Jesus correct. That we understand the biblical Jesus. Because actually there are other Jesuses that I think are being presented to people. I think there's other understandings of Jesus. And I think even within some aspects of church, particularly within the wider context of the UK or the wider context of the Western expression of Christianity, we can lose sight of the real Jesus. I think as church, one of the greatest challenges that we have is to be that representation of Jesus. Because if people want to know what Jesus is like, yes, we can point them to the scriptures and we can get them to read the Gospels, for example, and read through the Gospels. And that will give them some understanding of Jesus. But I would argue that the best example of Jesus that we can give to people is you and me. And so our discipleship is really, really important, because our discipleship is rooted in the fundamental quest to become more like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. That's the definition of discipleship that I live with and that we work to at HBC. Is that we want people to look like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. And the way that happens is that we spend time with Jesus. So we have this sense of being with Jesus. So that as we spend time with him, it begins to impact our character and our lives so that we become more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, we begin to do the things that Jesus did. And I was really taken yesterday. There was an article. Neil's mentioned the Times already. Not that I read the Times, and I didn't see the article that he was referring to. But Gavin Calver, some of you might know that name. He's the leader, the sort of national director of the Evangelical Alliance in the UK. And he'd written an article that was published yesterday in the Times on Saturday about the church and the state of the church. Because depending where you look in direction of the church in the UK, you can either get really depressed or you could be really encouraged. And both are true. That's what he was saying, that, you know, just one statistic that he put in, I think, was I can't remember the exact timing of this, but in the recent past, so I don't know if it's the last 5 to 10 years, that sort of time frame, 400 Anglican churches have closed. I guess some of you who have relationships with Methodist churches will know that's a similar story. And so when, you know, across the UK, you might look at some aspects of the church and think, gosh, it's on its last legs. You know, it's almost like, well, the last person turn the lights off and lock up moment. And there's some truth in that, to be fair. But at the other side of it, and this is what Gav was saying, was that actually in the last 2 years, the influence and impact of the church has probably been at its best. Because the church has been in those places of help and support and getting its hands really dirty within the context of its communities. And so, you know, if you want to know the organisations who've been giving out the most food in food poverty, it's going to be the church. If you want to know who runs the most parents and toddler groups across the whole of our country, it's going to be the church. If you want to know who works with the most children and young people right across the country, it's going to be the church. So we have to... at this point, the context for that then is like, in the midst of church, what church has to be is that place where people see and feel and experience Jesus. And it might seem like a really simple answer, but that's what Jesus here, in this moment, he's been with these disciples nearly 3 years at this point. is he's wanting to pull out of them, well, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Was he just another rabbi, another teacher? Was he just a prophet? Or even, was he just a miracle worker? Because there was those around Israel at that time too. He was all of those things, but he was far much more, wasn't he? And it's Peter, bless him, who comes out with this revelation of saying that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And you need to know the full weight of history behind that moment for Peter to come out with that statement. Because the Israelites have been waiting for thousands of years for the promised Messiah. The whole story, the big story of the Old Testament, is this promise of a Messiah, an anointed one, a savior, somebody who would come and rescue these people. And so now this is the moment that Peter gets that revelation. You are him. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the one in flesh who is bringing and establishing God's reign and rule. You are the King of the kingdom. And so for you and I, as we sort of think about this moment where we're sat in a room and we're three congregations and we're doing our own thing, as it were, we're serving God, and you know, we might be working this week in lots of spheres of society across West Cheshire. You know, there's going to be people working in offices, there's going to be people working in schools, there's going to be people who are in business environments, there's going to be people raising their children, but we're all doing it primarily in this context of West Cheshire, aren't we? Most of us are living and working in this region. And so as we live out this faith, one of the things that I'm praying about and we're praying about is like, how can our coming together strengthen and empower and resource and equip us all to be these Christians? And to go back to the root of the word Christian is to be little Christs. That's where the word Christian, it was in Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, where the disciples were first called Christians. The reality in our context is that word has very little spiritual power. In fact, it's probably quite a negative word to call yourself a Christian. Which is why some of us will call ourselves, I'm a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, or I'm a person of the way, or I'm a missional disciple, I'm not just a disciple. We'll use words and adjectives because we've lost so much ground in terms of the word Christian. You might put another word in front of you. You might say, I'm an evangelical Christian, or I'm an evangelical charismatic Christian, or I'm a I won't go any further. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, but actually at its heart, the word Christian was little Christ's. And so for you and for me now, let's again think through, what is our answer to that question? Who do you say I am? Who do we say he is? And when we make that decision to say, yes, he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, I can trust him. I can follow him. And so we at HBC and Overflow have this little phrase where we want to love, trust, and follow Jesus. I love what Neil was saying about Zach's, about, you know, prayer and presence and partnership. You know, finding, you know, this, expressing the same thing, isn't it? That we want to follow Jesus together. And in our following of Jesus, in our trusting of Jesus, in our loving of Jesus, be little Christs to our neighbourhoods, to our workplaces, to our families, to our friends, to this region, so that we find a way to work through that powerful name, that hopes and promises that we carry in our hearts. You know, Christians have so much hope. We express it in our prayers that Jill led us in. There's hope, isn't there? Even in hopeless situations, we carry hope because of our trust.